I don't know that our defense worries about that. They got no control over when or how they take the field. They got all the control on how they get off the field. That's the life we live. I think it was reflected when we turned that ball over, right? When that ball got tipped up in the air and intercepted, you saw the spirit in which our defense took the field. So we're not looking for comfort. We're not looking to hide on the sideline. We'll get ourselves off the field.
You know how else we live, Bob? That negativity inspires us for some reason to action. And I'm talking about phone calls. It's oftentimes the media is accused of negative slants, of jumping on negativity, of being moved by negativity. And I always say it can be fans as well. If the Steelers had lost that game 37-0 or lost it on a horrible coaching decision, we wouldn't have enough phone lines. Now, when we both posit the idea that they're the favorite in the AFC North, that it's their best defense since 2010, all of this stuff, we have two calls on the line.
No,
I'm not even ready to go to that yet, Bob, until we get people who want to mix it up here or at least talk. Your reaction to the game. We started the show today by saying the Steelers are now the favorites in the AFC North. It's their best defense under Tomlin in 14 years, 15 maybe, but I can never figure out the math. And that Justin Fields is now the guy at quarterback and has even earned a bad start. Like, even if he has a bad start, if Russell Wilson is healthy, Fields should still get the next one. Surely that should inspire some talk here, Bob, some conversation at 412-928-9370, because the negative sure does. And I'm like that, too. I'm not blaming anybody. You know, you get riled up about negativity when things go exactly the way you want. Well, there's nothing to complain about.
No, I find that to be true on some of the shows we do on television also, that it's just, okay, everything's good. There's nothing to complain about. People love to complain. I don't know why. You should also enjoy when you see this kind of success. You know, and again, week by week proposition here, but they're playing very well, and they're doing it when people thought they wouldn't be much of a factor. And now, all of a sudden, they are a factor. And I think that's going to continue for at least the next month.
So, I have a trivia question for you in the midst of all this, Bob, in City Limits. When was the last time the Steelers and Pitt were a combined 7-0?
I know the answer, but you want me to say it?
No. Why do you know the answer?
Because I saw who tweeted it and put it out there.
Oh, who did?
Jason Mackey.
All right, well, that takes the steam
out
of that.
It was front page of the Mackey Planner, Joe. Come on.
Well, now I don't care anymore, Bob. No.
What was the year, 2000?
1982.
Wow.
Penn State was also
undefeated. I started at KDK. You think I would have remembered that?
1982, the Panthers started 7-0. Before losing to who? That'll be my other trivia question. They lost their next game to who?
It was in the Cotton Bowl.
No, it wasn't. They were
7-0. No, 7-0, so it had to be before any postseason.
Oh, yeah, I'm thinking of the postseason.
Oh, jeez.
Wrong. Notre Dame. 31-16. And the Steelers had a nice start that year in an abbreviated season. I guess there must have been a work stoppage that year.
Yeah, that was the year that they did. I remember going to Johnstown. I think it was where they were.
Did you say hello to Sam Ross while you were there, Bob?
I didn't.
Remember Sam Ross, the sports columnist? Absolutely. Wonderful man from Johnstown. All right, Limits, let's go to the phones, such as they are. Please, give me a person.
Let's go to Nate on the north side.
Hello, Nate on the north side. What's up? Talk to Bob Pompiani. You've wanted to your whole life. He's right here.
What's up, Nate?
Hello, gentlemen. Hello, Bob. Thanks for taking my call. I was happy to get through because it's been a while since I've been able to call in. But to hear that you don't have a lot of callers, I'm glad I can contribute, and I made my morning. But moving forward, my answer to your questions as far as hypothetically, if Russell Wilson's healthy, do you start him this week, hypothetically? And much like this election, I don't like either choice, but if I have to choose, I would say
Wait a second. You don't like either choice, so A, why don't you like Justin Fields, and B, why in the world would you start Russell Wilson at this point in Game 4?
Two reasons. One, I desperately want to see what Russell Wilson can do in a Steelers uniform, but more importantly, even if we make it to the AFC Championship game with Justin Fields and we lose, everyone's going to be saying, man, I wonder if we put Russell in, if we'd have made the Super Bowl. I just see that happening. So that's because my feeling.
To Joe's point, that's what people like to talk about. They want to go back, second guess, react, say they should have done this, they should have done that. But you can't live. You can't live like that. Certainly.
I agree. Yeah.
I have an interesting question on that topic. You know, and it has to do with the Steelers. Let's say this all continues, right? Let's say that he has a really good year.
Fields?
Yes.
Yeah.
He becomes unrestricted at the end of this season.
Yeah.
And I would assume he wants to stay right here because it changed everything about his professional life. But because the Steelers don't negotiate until the end of the season or in the offseason, he becomes unrestricted, which means there are teams out there that could do something.
They have made exceptions for quarterbacks during seasons.
Okay.
To negotiate. But
would they do it with his case? Let's say they really decided. You know, they have a long season here, but if, you know, 15 weeks into it, we still see the same stuff. It would be in their best interest to start that ahead of time.
That's a really good question. And I had another one. I teased to it before the break. I think if they're going to make an exception to that rule for a player at another position, that Najee is getting close to that. This is a guy who gives his heart and soul on every carry, Bob. Can you imagine if 8 or 9 games into the season, they simply said, we've signed Najee. This is the kind of guy we'd make an exception for and sign in the middle of a season. I would actually love to see that. I get why they didn't. But man, all he does is show up and play his heart out.
Angry
right?
runs. Yes. And he doesn't fumble. You know, I mean, he protects the ball the way they want him to, or any of those guys. You know, they pound that into everyone's head. Tomlin's good about it, and it seems to be working.
Next.
Here's Brian in Brookline.
Brian in Brookline. How are you, Brian?
Hi, Joe. Hi, Bob.
What's up, Brian?
Serafino's hasn't seen you in a while, Bob. You got to go back.
Well, we were there. I'd love to go every night.
Where?
Serafino's in Green Tree.
Right down in Craft, Craft Inn, yes.
That's great.
And Crinkulent. Their white clam sauce is unbelievable,
oh,
Bob.
It's such a good place. But yeah, I need to do that. But working every night makes that tough.
So I have a question for you that I want to tell you. I was there yesterday. Set up in 509. Got to see the blown coverage with the Herbert touchdown pass to his receiver. But the energy. Guys, I can't tell you this. We feel like we have a chance. They were using the middle of the field. They running in a third quarter. It's just, and then when they played Renegade, the whole place went crazy, and the energy level even went up even further. I just think that we have a chance. I'm going to give Arthur Smith a lot of credit for using and scheming people open that Matt Canada couldn't do.
I'm with you on that, man. And I'm glad to hear about the energy. Bob, because it has felt in recent years at times like it's stale, like it's old, like it's the same thing over and over, and something feels renewing about this team. Man, I don't know if it's a combination. You have a really enthusiastic new guy in Patrick Queen on defense. You have a new quarterback. You have a new offensive coordinator, and I agree with that. There were some calls yesterday I was scratching my head a little bit, but you know what? They should have had 27. They could have had 27 if they'd wanted 27 at the end. I thought that was a grade A-minus maybe offensive performance. And Artie Smith was right about one other thing as well, and I was wrong, Cordarrelle Patterson. I didn't know why he went to him late in the game last week, but he did it again yesterday, and Cordarrelle came in with fresh legs, and he was like a bronking buck
by
the end of the
game. At 238 pounds, you know, running at you his size. That's not easy to do.
And I'll tell you another thing. That little play he made down by the goal line where he caught the ball under his leg made it possible for the designed run on the next play. You don't do that from the 8-yard line, but you can do it from, where was it, the 4? The 3?
Yeah, it was inside the 5. So,
no, so
5, yeah, 4-yard touchdown, I think it was.
That's an underrated big play.
That was also an RPO that he executed very well.
Yeah.
Normally, those RPOs have given him a little bit of trouble, I see. Not in this case. He read it beautifully, and you can't stop that if it's done right.
They threw more balls down the seams, straight down the middle yesterday in one game than they sometimes did with Pickett in literally like 5 or 6 games in a row. I mean, he was incredibly accurate, Bob.
Oh, I mean, that's, again, and I think they made a, you know, Jim and Tony made a point of this talking about the importance of hitting those little dink and dunkers. You may think they're not much and they are technically checkdowns, But if you put him in the right spot,
yes,
it leads to a few extra yards. And a few extra yards can make a difference down in distance on the next play.
For sure.
If you throw it behind him, we've seen too much of that in the past.
Or into the ground.
Or into the ground, you have no choice but to, you know, you're going to get stopped right there if it is complete. There's no chance for yards after the catch. Those are big. If he executes that, they have to respect that, which should also open up more things down the field.
He's been the opposite of what I thought he was, Fields, in this respect. I thought it was boom or bust. I thought we were going to see, you know, prime Steve Young or Michael Vick 1 week and then Duck Hodges at his worst the next. You know what I mean? And instead, we've seen, as Tomlin would put it, a steady Eddie. He's been very steady. He never looks sped up or rushed. And yesterday he was going against a very good team that was pounding people early in the game. He never looks frazzled. Pickett used to look in the pocket like the whole place was on fire. Like, I got to get out of here. This guy does not look like that.
That's a good description. And his feet would tell you that. And then he'd spin away from the fire, you know, and try to create something in a way that he couldn't.
I didn't know that about him. And he's very, you mentioned the short passes. We talked about that earlier. Even if it's a four-yard gain, sometimes the difference between four and nothing is if you put that ball accurately. Like, I think of the one where Cordero came behind him and ran a little swing route, and he put it right on him. It wasn't a great play, but it was more than it could have been. There were still, by the way, too many negative plays yesterday, Bob. There were like six or seven negative Steeler plays. That's too many for a game. But Fields was just so impressive.
Here's one thing that changed. Tomlin brought in officials during practice, and guess what? They committed only three penalties as opposed to 12 or whatever it was the week before.
I thought it was a great football game.
Yeah, it was.
The first half was, that's what I like. I thought the quarterbacks played well. The offenses were pretty good, but the defenses were better for the
physical,
most part.
Both sides.
Physical, violent.
And early on, it was the Chargers who were bringing the heat. You know, they were. Those first few possessions, they were going after people hard tackling.
It was fun to watch, and it was well played. You know what I mean? There weren't a bunch of drops. There weren't a bunch of penalties like we've seen in these. That was a great game, I thought. And I think the Chargers, pending their injuries here, are also going to be a team that's heard from down the road here. But, man, all of a sudden, they're just riddled with injuries, and the Steelers had a lot to do with that. All right, more of your calls coming up. The lines are now lighting up. Like a pinball machine, Bob. They're lighting up like Pony at a Syracuse basketball
pinball
game.
Wizard, you
like
know
Malzy at a craft beer
at.
Bar. Like Adam Crowley in Morgantown. We got all six lit up. We want to talk to you. We got eight. When did we get eight?
We've had eight.
When did we add that? When
Since
I came
I've been
here,
we've
we only
had eight.
Really?
Yeah.
We got all eight lit up, Bob.
But you don't go through your progressions like you should.
Oh, we're going to go through
the progressions. You go through the first, then you forget about two through seven. You come on now.
You're the star of the show. 412. We're going to go through this, Bob.